Thank you for listening to this podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. If you like what you hear, please consider liking, sharing, reviewing, and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast feed of choice, and help us to keep creating and improving our content. Thank you.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
Radio Mass places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
Like a T-Rex with an itchy ass, we never quite get to the bottom of things, but we do try our best. This is Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. I am Will, and joining me, as ever, is John. How are you, John?
I'm fine, Will. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm quite pleased with my intro this time around.
That's a brilliant intro.
well, we are going to do a slightly different show this time around, aren't we?
We are indeed, yes.
Which may alienate half of our three listeners. Well,
alienate half of us.
Hey, you do the maths. I'm just here to look pretty.
Okay.
This is going to be kind of a heavy centric show on our what have we watched since last time. It's usually a question that we ask right at the top of every show. What have you watched since the last time we recorded? It could be anything. It could be TV and movies, anything to do with the content of the podcast. And we often fumble at this point. It's not a great start to the show when we're going, actually, you know what? I know we ask this question at the beginning of every show. I don't know. I can't remember. So I've actually, John usually brings all the content for this show. He brings all the news and what's happening, the reboots that are going to make us furious, the remakes that will also make us furious, and some of the shit that Michael Bay's making. And he usually brings all the content. This time around, how many notes have you got, John?
I have got none.
None. This is dangerous territory. What it means is that I've actually made a list of things to talk about for the first time ever. I have prepared for this podcast. This could mean it's going to go horribly wrong, but I think it's a good start that I've actually made a list of movies I've watched since the last time we recorded, and quite a few. I've been on it, John. I've been on the movies and the TV stuff. So I think, let's just kind of just crack straight on with it. And
cool. Weren't you doing your alphabetical list of films?
I was, yes. And it, coincidentally, we both watched the same film. So you reviewed it on TheUnheardNerd.com earlier this week or last week, I think.
Late last week.
Attack on Titan, Part 1, the live-action version of the story based on a manga comic. Subsequently it's had, I think, maybe one or two anime series, an ongoing series that's still going, hugely popular, vast amount of books on this. Attack on Titan goes through, I think, upwards of 20 volumes at this point, maybe more. I've read the first five or six now. So I went into this film knowing a little bit about it. But let's just explain again what I'm doing. I am on a mission to watch... it's a movie marathon, quite literally, 26 segments. I'm going to try and watch 26 movies, one for each letter of the alphabet, in order. And so I started with Attack on Titan, and I started reading your review, and then I thought, I'm going to stop, hang on, because if I know what you think, then it limits the conversation we have on the podcast somewhat. So I didn't read your review, anything past that you weren't familiar with the subject matter or the content, the original content. Yeah. So let's start with what you thought of it as somebody who doesn't know much about it. What were your thoughts on Attack on Titan?
You might have seen the review. I've only seen the trailer, and that got enough of my attention that I thought, giants attacking people in a post-apocalyptic future. Mm. This looks like it could be right up my street. And initially, I was really enjoying it. I find the Titans are, to quote my review, creepy as fuck. It's just something off about them that really weirds me out a little bit. I think they're actually brilliant. They're the best part of the film. So, yeah, visuals. I love the visuals. I love the style of the film. Obviously, it's a film from the Far East. The budget isn't going to be anything like a Hollywood blockbuster of near hundreds of millions, but I was really impressed with what they managed to put together with the money.
I think it does well to create an epic feel on that tight budget. And some of the CGI is a little bit ropey. I mean, you can see the Titans at times are either people in capture suits or people dressed as Titans and literally superimposed in. And it does look a bit clunky at times, I thought.
I think it really falls down when they're using those, they're flying around between buildings on those gas harpoon devices.
Oh, really? You didn't...
I thought, well, some of the shots then look really, you know, look like early day blue screen stuff, I thought, but maybe being a bit too harsh. But
I know what you mean, but it's a very difficult visual to pull off. I think,
yeah,
you know, the technology that they're using in Attack on Titan are these sort of gas-powered, as you say, harpoons. They're like harpoons that come out and attach to buildings, and they propel themselves almost via these cables and wires.
Almost like a sort of a mechanical Spider-Man, really.
In a way, yeah, you know, all sort of held at the hip. So, yeah, I mean, a fantastic and very unique method of moving around from the original source material. Yeah, that's quite accurate to the original source material. But as you say, a little bit clunky in their execution of the CGI, perhaps.
For me, it's the story. The first attack was brilliant. The first attack was surprisingly violent.
Mm.
I was really not expecting that much blood to go flying across the screen. I mean, there's one person pulled in four directions at once. People literally just getting squashed into the ground.
Yeah.
People bitten in half. Am I misimagining that?
No, you're right.
People bitten in half. Blood going everywhere. I was like, whoa. You know, normally when I think of sci-fi, I don't think of copious amounts of blood along with it. But that just added to the ambiance. I thought it was brilliant. But then halfway through the film, it just seemed to come to a screeching halt. Actually, to the point where it says 2 years later.
Yeah.
So you've watched the initial attack, then it goes 2 years later, and then slam, the brakes come on, and it starts introducing all these characters that I honestly couldn't give a shit about. Mm. And I'm just paraphrasing my review. Sorry to anyone who's already read it. But there's that snobby rich guy who's joined up. There's a single mum, a girl who just loves eating potatoes. Is that all of them? I think that's all of them. That's the main ones.
I mean, there's a whole number of them, and they will have their different, you know, backstories and idiosyncrasies. But
it just doesn't seem to add to the story for any reason. But then anyway, then it sort of goes on to the final attack, and then things just start getting silly. Oh, the baby. I just remembered that. The Titan baby. That's creepy.
That is creepy, yeah.
And even though it is obviously CGI, it doesn't distract from the fact it's still bloody creepy. I've just remembered that. That is a good point. But then they know how to attack them. They know how to take them down. Mm. So one guy decides to attack the ankles with a huge axe.
Yeah.
But then I think there's two major points of the film that really stick in my head and annoy me. He throws one over his shoulder.
Mm. Yeah.
I just kind of almost lost for words. I'd say, I know it's sci-fi. I know they're giants. It's all kind of making sense in its own world at the moment. And, oh, hello, what have you just done?
Yeah. I don't recall that character from the book. To bring a little context to the whole thing, the story that surrounds at least the opening few volumes of Attack on Titan, the manga, you know, comic book,
mm-hmm.
is that Earth, it's a post-apocalyptic Earth as we know. The whole of humanity, as far as they are concerned, the inhabitants of this multi-walled city, are almost, you know, prisoners within their own community. They've built a number of walls. The widest circumference on the outside, and then there are or more walls as you go towards the centre of the city. The people with the most money, the rich people, live in the middle with the most protection. Mm-hmm. And then as you go out, then you've got, you know, industrial parts, you've got farming areas. And, you know, the Attack on Titan Part 1 deals with the first attack, really, on the walls of Maria, the outside walls. And there hadn't been an attack for a long, long, long time.
It's just over 100 years, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, complacency had set in.
The kids all think it's a myth because they don't believe it.
That's right. And no sightings of Titans for a long time. Mm. But, you know, the main character, Eren, he feels like a prisoner in the walls of the city. And he just desires to get outside, to see the world, you know, they dream of seeing the ocean, which they've only ever heard about. They don't know if it exists. And all of this is fairly in keeping with the source material. Where it starts to deviate is quite early on, you know, when they try and escape the walls, and that prompts the first attack from an absolutely enormous Titan. And again, I mean, that's in keeping. That's you know, truthful to the tale, that there is a sort of enormous Titan that, you know, peers over the wall and can cause enormous destruction. And in the story, they do lose that first wall, you know, and they all have to then fall back into the other wall.
Yeah.
They do take a lot of artistic liberties with the film. They've changed the story as to how they get enrolled into the forces that are going to battle the Titans. In the comics, they want to be part of that, and it's their desire to join, you know, the forces throughout.
They're conscripted in the film, aren't they, pretty much?
They are, yes. Yeah. I mean, if you've no other option, then you're conscripted into it. But, you know, in the comics, Eren always wants to be a scout. He wants to get outside of the walls. He wants to fight the Titans. And it does veer away from the source material quite quickly. There are elements where, you know, you see in the film, okay, that's part of what I've seen in the comic pages, but it's not the same story 100%. It borrows from the source material, but it deviates quite a lot. That said, I mean, as with you, I was impressed with the scale of the film, given what seems to be, you know, not a Hollywood-sized budget. I think they've done well with what they had. I enjoyed, you know, I thought the wire stuff with the gas-powered harnesses, I didn't mind it too much. It didn't really stick out at me. It was the Titans, really, that at times looked out of place in the film. And but on the whole, I enjoyed it. I know what you're saying. In the second half of the movie, it does lose its way, and that's where it's really going way off, you know, anything I'm aware of in the source material. And like I said, I haven't read it all, so it could be stories that come in later on in the comic book that I'm not aware of. But it does seem to just stall, and by the end of it, you're thinking, well, that could have been a really great movie, but they lost their way somewhere along the way.
The ending was, in fact, the biggest problem I had with the film.
Yeah,
because Aaron, spoilers everyone, sorry, Aaron sacrifices himself to save his friend. I think it's the right way around. And you see him, literally see him slide into the belly of the Titan, and I assumed he was being eaten by the digestive acid in the stomach. And then a few seconds later, the Titan that's ingested him glows, sort of expands, look of pain on its face, and explodes, and there's this new Titan has appeared from within.
Yeah.
And it goes around smashing up all the other ones and scares them off. And I'm already scratching my head going, okay, what's going on? And then I can't remember her name now. Sorry, it's like Makesha or something.
Makesha,
that's it. She's like, quick, cut Eren out before he's absorbed by the Titan. And they cut this giant on the back of the neck and pull out Eren. And they go, oh, he's all right. He's alive. He hasn't been absorbed yet. And I'm just going, what?
Well, bizarrely, I mean, that is true to the story. That is what happens. And Eren is like the Neo character of the story, as in he's kind of a chosen one in the way that he can manipulate Titans and fight other Titans, and it's his kind of the turning point in the battle. So it's quite a key part of the story. But I agree. I mean, it is
as a total newcomer. It's just like.
It is a bit what the fuck. Yeah, I take that. That's fair enough.
I mean, did you watch the end credits? Because there was a trailer for part two.
I think I probably did, purely because I was too lazy to turn it off. I think I did. Yeah, I will watch the second part. I thought the first.
Oh yes,
was...
I want to say, you know, see if it helps me sort of make sense of what I saw in part one.
Yeah. So on a scale of one videotape to 10 videotapes, what would you give it?
I'm tied between 6 and 7.
Mm. Well, so like you, I mean, my initial thought was I'd give it 7, but then I thought again, and I'm going with 6 videotapes out of 10 for this one.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's that's A done in my movie marathon. So brilliant. What I need now is suggestions for B and C and D and so on. I kind of think I know what I'm going to watch for C. I haven't watched Chappie yet, and I'm thinking Chappie's going to be a good bet. I think I'd like to try and watch films that I haven't seen before, but I'm open to watching some of the classics again. Yeah, Blade Runner would be a decent movie to stick in for B. Blade
on Blu-ray.
Does it?
Yeah.
We've got a VHS. No, we don't. Oh my God, what am I living in 1983? We do have a VHS player, but not the copy of the film on VHS anymore. We gave all our VHS away. But we do have it on DVD, is what I should say. And it's some sort of special edition, like steel box type edition thing, which is nice. So I do have that at my disposal. But I'd like some suggestions for B. And I'll probably watch some of it this week. So if people want to tweet us, they can tweet me. It's at the Unheard Nerd. They can tweet John at UK Film Nerd and ask him to tweet me, if you like. seems a bit bizarre, but whatever floats your boat. You can email, it's theunheardnerd@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/theunheardnerd. I don't know whether to write a post about my movie marathon on the website. I might do that. I might get more of a response.
Get some comments in.
Yeah. So, looking forward to B. That's that. I'm going to move on to a film that I have watched that begins with B as part of my what have I watched since last time. This is very out of character for me, and I'll explain why. My sister-in-law was over, and my wife obviously was here and wanted to watch a film. So we ended up watching Brooklyn. Brooklyn is a film about a girl from Ireland who moves to Brooklyn. As the name suggests, it's sort of oldie timey. I'm not sure where it fits into the scheme. It feels like it's sort of pre-World War One, certainly. It takes some ages to navigate the ocean, across the Atlantic Ocean, and she's on that ship for weeks. So I don't know. I didn't pay enough attention to keep the fine details. But what should have been a bit of a bore fest for me actually engaged me. I quite enjoyed it, and it was an Oscar nominated movie, I think. I can't really tell you who the characters are, but it's this girl who moves to Brooklyn, and so she starts a life. Yeah, she's sponsored by church. She's there thanks to a priest in Brooklyn who's, there's a big Irish community there who have moved across. She gets a job in a department store. She's terribly homesick at first, but then she falls in love with an Italian plumber whose name isn't Mario, unfortunately.
He stole my cheap joke.
And he doesn't go around saving princesses. The death of her sister, actually, sees her going back home, where everybody has plans for her, except they don't realise that she's already married and she doesn't tell them. And it's quite a nice little twist at the end that sees her coming clean and deciding where she's going to stay, whether she stays in Ireland or goes back to New York. So Brooklyn is actually worth a watch if you're in that kind of mood. It's not a superhero film, but it's all right. I didn't mind it. Another film that I watched that was really my wife's choice, and this is one I kept forgetting about. I think we went and saw it back in December, probably. And, we've done a few shows since then, and I keep forgetting to mention it. But it's a film called Joy. Now, it stars Jennifer Lawrence.
Yep.
And I kept forgetting that I'd watched it, because it is just a forgettable film. Not that good. Have you watched it? Have you seen it?
All I know is that she invents something to do with vacuum cleaners or something.
Well, it's a mop. She.
Oh, that's it. The mop, super mop or something.
Super mop. Yeah. She invents like the modern mop, I suppose, as you might call it. And it's the challenges she faces as sort of a single mother. The husband's around, but they're not together. She's raising a family. She's looking after her mother. Her father is played by Robert De Niro. He's a pain in the arse. And her sister's very forthright and often is the one attributed with business acumen. But what she manages to do is get her super mop onto QVC. First time it's on QVC, they have someone else demoing it, and the guy hasn't a clue how to work, and it's a huge flop. Yeah. And she convinces the studio director to let her go on TV as a complete newbie, never done it before, and sell her own mop. It looks like it's going to go terribly wrong, but of course it all goes terribly right. She ends up being a very successful and powerful woman. Spoilers. That was Joy. I don't think I'm alone in forgetting films, though, John. Have you, you've watched a few that you've forgotten, and you might...
Yes, I think it would be embarrassing that I've already talked about them. Or actually, that's what I've definitely talked about. I watched something from the 80s a while back, because the missus had seen it, and she was like, I can't believe you've not seen it. It's brilliant. Top Secret with Val Kilmer.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Mm. It was created by the guys behind the Airplane spoofs and Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah.
And Val Kilmer is a sort of an American singer who gets recruited to go across to Germany to help rescue a scientist.
All right.
It's quite funny in places. All right. You know that style of humour, that you know what to expect.
Yeah.
And one of the most bizarre images I've got in my head right now is at the end of the film, there's a cow running around with willy boots on. A really good visual gag, so obviously it won't work on this podcast. They go to a bookshop that's run by Peter Cushing, and he's looking at a book through a magnifying glass. And of course, his eye is really, really big because you're seeing it through the magnifying glass, the way the angle of the shot is.
Yeah.
But what makes it funny is when he puts the magnifying glass down, he has one normal eye and one huge gigantic eye. It's just really silly stuff like that. But it's actually, it's a good, funny movie.
Oh, no.
I just think, no one's really aware of it because everyone thinks, Naked Gun, Airplane, Police Story. No, Police Squad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't think this one's really got the recognition it deserves.
Yeah, strange. Did you watch it on Betamax or Laserdisc?
Neither.
Do you still have your Laserdisc player?
I think it's in my parents' attic, along with the small collection of discs I had for it.
Interesting. Was Star Wars one of those discs?
It was. I brought the trilogy on Laserdisc.
Yeah, that might be worth some money one day, John.
Probably not. For those of you who don't know, I brought a Laserdisc player about 6 months before DVD was introduced, so that was perfect timing.
Bear in mind, you just can't you can't judge these things. have you watched anything else that we should discuss?
How about we take a film break and discuss thoughts on a couple of recent trailers? Ghostbusters.
Oh, come on, John. Don't tell me you've still got apprehensions about this movie. It's not like there's millions of people out there going, no, what are you doing?
I'm not claiming it's raping my childhood.
Is it shitting on your youth?
It's maybe farting on my youth. I don't know if I'm doing a full-on shit yet.
It's like the dogs farted, but you know.
Yeah, I'm not really fussed they're trying it with women and reversing the roles around.
Yeah,
it's just the comedy look. The comedy aspect is not funny. It looks shit.
All right, I watched the I watched the trailer, the first trailer that dropped.
Yeah,
and I gotta say I was in. And then I read some of the comments about the trailer and people's concerns. Yeah, the black character is made to look stupid in it. Is that right? I don't know.
I didn't like that. The fact that you sort of had a whole scene but truncated at the end where she gets possessed.
Right, yeah.
And she's being slapped.
Yeah, the jokes.
The power of Patty compels you. Slap. And so is this comedy? Okay.
Oh, that's going to leave a mark.
Yes.
That's an original joke. Yeah, it's got its faults, definitely. But I thought the international trailer that dropped a few days later, actually I found that really funny. And I thought Chris Hemsworth in particular was quite funny. I think it is quite simple humour. But I think we're in danger of really, and we're probably very guilty of this, nostalgia is,
yeah.
We're being a bit blinkered. I mean, we got to remember that actually what we enjoyed, we're probably not remembering in the same way as, I don't know, we enjoyed things in a different way the first time around. Mm. And now we're older, we're adults, and we're looking at things through different eyes. And we want the new films to be what we remember the old films to be. But actually, if you go back and watch those films, we're probably getting much the same in some respects. It just doesn't feel right in this day and age and for what we want. So I'm taking a bit of a pragmatic view on this one. You know, having in the past been flat out, I hate reboots, remakes, etc. They're coming at a rate of knots at the minute. And I think we just got to accept that and take these things for kind of for what they are. I mean, it might be a terrible movie, it might be, but I saw enough there to make me want to go and see it.
It's a shame, because I love every other aspect of the trailer. I think the ghosts look great, the technology looks great, especially the car driving around in the dark looked fantastic, not so much daytime, but it's personal preference.
Yeah.
Everything else looked really good. It's just the comedy, I still plan on seeing it at some point. I'm not going to totally dismiss it. It's not fair to just say, no, never going to watch it.
Mm. It is bizarre that they reference what happened 30 years ago, you know, the original Ghostbusters, but then recreate so many of the aspects of that movie. The hearse as the Ecto-1. You know, the meeting
the ghost for the first time in the library.
Exactly. I mean, it feels like it's a bit confused in what it's trying to do. Is it like a sequel 30 years after, or is it a remake?
Well, that's one of the first contentions everyone had with the trailer, and the director Paul Feig has confirmed it is a complete reboot. There is no link to the original, but you have to admit, like you just said, the way they worded the opening trailer, especially the shot of the fire station as well.
Yeah,
it makes it sound like, oh, 30 years ago there were the Ghostbusters, and here they are now within the same universe.
It's a confused message. Yeah.
And then you watch the trailer and you go, well, so these Ghostbusters are new and they're getting together, but quite coincidentally, they're falling into the same story beats as the original ones.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But, you know, my interest was piqued enough for me to go and watch that. So, I don't feel too badly about it.
Okay, it's done its job.
Still plenty of time for me to change my mind on that.
Okay, how about the other big one this week was the second trailer for Captain America Civil War?
I mean, as I've mentioned on the show before, I'm not really a huge fan of the Captain America films. They've never really grabbed me in the same way as you know, certainly Guardians of the Galaxy did.
Yeah.
And the Avengers movies do. And it is kind of an Avengers-like film because they're all in it. And, it's the Civil War story.
It's quite funny because I think one of the directors said, this isn't Avengers 2.5.
Mm.
It is Captain America 3. So, okay.
It's a bit a little bit confusing because it certainly feels like Avengers 2.5.
Well, all those characters in.
But we got our first look at Spidey. I'm not sure what to think. I know the suit is quite in keeping with the traditional suit. You know,
yeah.
But those eyes, I don't know. I'm not sure about the eyes of the suit. I mean, I don't particularly care for the small spider logo either. But it's not a deal breaker for me. I won't go see the film because of that. The eyes, I mean, they're doing a kind of a Deadpool thing with the eyes. I mean, the eyes are quite emotive in Deadpool. I mean, I'll come on to Deadpool a little later. And I can kind of see, you know, in that trailer, the brief glimpse that we had, you see the eyes narrowing. And you know, the eyes are giving sort of emotion.
Mm.
But they do seem weird. I don't know. I think I honestly preferred, like, the Sam Raimi version of the Spider-Man suit, you know, from the other films. I don't know what you feel about it.
He looks like Spider-Man. I mean, I don't read the comics. I don't keep up on trends on what he's wearing.
Yeah, I mean, but Spider-Man's like, always a bit.
I mean, some of the stuff I've read, the fans are quite happy that apparently along his belt line, you can see the little web cartridge fluid things.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a theory that perhaps that Tony has helped him out with the suit.
Well, it would make sense, wouldn't it?
Was it? I saw a screen grab from something Marvel related, and I kind of, it's an extra or something from one of the films, but it was a screen grab of a fake news sequence from wherever it was, and there's like a ticker thing at the bottom scrolling past of news.
Hmm.
And this one bit of ticker said Tony Stark starts a scheme to help like kids in poorer areas or something.
Okay.
And well, people thought, oh, maybe that's a reference to Peter Parker, so he helps him, and you know, he helps him the technology for it to become Spider-Man.
It's possible. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously he's taken Iron Man's side in the Civil War. I got to say, Black Panther looks amazing. The costume and the way he moves and everything. I thought that character looks amazing. Everything else we've kind of seen before. I'm a little bit scared by this film because I think it is going to pull at my heartstrings somewhat. I remember the trailer before where Iron Man's being beaten up by Bucky and Cap.
Mm.
Actually made me really sad. Yeah, not debilitatingly so. It's not like when Take That split up. I'm not going to be calling the Samaritans. But I do think this film's going to tear at my heartstrings a little bit. And I know it's all going to be all right in the end, but, you know, it's that journey. I'm not looking forward to it.
I'm actually feeling excited for this.
Are you?
That second trailer really, really sort of lit something, because when I saw the first trailer, I don't know why, maybe it's the mood I was in when I watched it, but I was kind of excited for another Marvel, but watched it thinking, it's the similar stuff all over again.
Yeah.
we discussed this last time, I think, you know, am I being over Marveled?
We could be reaching saturation point on that one.
Yeah. But I don't know, I watched the second trailer and something went, oh yeah, brilliant. Thumbs up. So
I mean, I do get excited when I watch these trailers. You know, I do get a thrill out of watching them, but I think I am just a little bit, you know, more hardened to them because of the amount of Marvel films there have been over the years now. It's like I'm looking for something special every time now. And I think they've done special with a lot of the films, and it's difficult to maintain that level. I don't doubt that they will. But
Especially as they're going for sort of like two films a year now, aren't they?
Yeah, I just don't see that they can top what they've already done in terms of quality. They can maintain a really high level of quality, but I don't think they can top it. And I think fans are I think fans would just be expecting something a little bit more. I don't know. I think it's going to be a huge success. It's not necessarily to my taste, you know, the Captain America thing. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I think everybody will enjoy it. Right, so I mean, I mentioned Deadpool.
Yes, you did.
I did go and watch that. In fact, at the time I said I was going to, but I didn't really write a review because I thought there's been a lot of reviews out about it. We're a little bit behind the curve. I'll save it for the podcast.
Okay.
So I, against my better judgment, had to go and see it at an Odeon cinema. I am, as previous listeners will know, not a huge fan of the Odeon experience because there's always some. Sorry, I'll rephrase that. There's always some idiot that sits there talking and munching on their food, and Odeons just seem to attract dickheads, basically. You know, my choice of cinema, you pay a little bit more at the picture house, but you get to watch the film in peace because people have a little bit more respect. But that said, I went on, I think it was a Tuesday, straight after work, for like a 6:30 showing. There were less than 20 people in the theatre. Though people did decide to sit right in front of me and right behind me. You got a whole frigging cinema, people.
Yeah, but were you in middle, though?
I was middle, of course I was.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. See, everyone wants middle.
On my own. Hello, yeah, I'm on my own watching this. Get over it. And I really enjoyed it. It is finally the first Marvel superhero movie 20th Century Fox have got right. It is fantastic from start to finish. The amount of, you know, fourth wall breaking is, you know, it's throughout the entire movie, as you'd expect. I mean, you know, Deadpool notoriously has three voices: his external voice, his internal monologue, and his narration as well. He narrates his own life story as he's going along, and all of these elements are great. I mean, even the opening sequences, and this is a small spoiler, but it's not like anything to do with the plot. But even the opening sequence, rather than having, you know, the director, the actor's names, it just has, you know, the English guy playing the villain, some douchebag from Marvel Comics, like, and all of the names are just like, it's another superhero film. Like, it really doesn't take itself seriously. One of my favourite moments is, you know, obviously there are X-Men in the film. There's Colossus, and there's Negasonic Teenage Warhead, just a fantastic name. Yeah, they are characters from the X-Men universe. They're in there. Deadpool turns up at Xavier's school for gifted children, and of course, you know, Colossus opens the door, or Negasonic Warhead opens the door, and he's like, it's almost as if we didn't have enough budget to put more X-Men in this movie. And it really is an awful lot of fun. It is violent. It is graphic in the detail. You do see a lot of blood, a lot of bullets going through people, a lot of knife work. And there's an awful lot of swearing. Intrinsically, it's a love story, bizarrely. And everyone brings their best game to this movie. It's funny. You know, it sounds like it should be a real guy movie, but in the cinema, the women in the movie... In the theatre I was at, were laughing harder than the guys. It really, yeah, fantastic film. So if you haven't seen Deadpool, John...
I haven't. I really want to now. I want to watch it even more.
Really, I am pre-ordering that on Blu-ray ASAP. It is fantastic. Really, one of the best Marvel character movies I've ever seen. Probably even better than some of the Marvel ones that Marvel make in their own studio, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. You know, it seems to have... I know a lot of people have been saying, you know, oh, it's the first, you know, R-rated movie to make a shit ton of money, first R-rated yeah. superhero movie. There have been other superhero movies that are R-rated, you know, the Blade films or, you know, Spawn or things like that. But... yeah, this is the start of a new generation. Yeah, we're going to see an R-rated Wolverine now, which I think can only be a good thing. And yeah, a lot of other films. Yeah, we've got the Batman v Superman. They're going to release an R-rated cut as well. And yeah,
one worries me a little bit.
2 hours, over 2.5 hours. That film, Batman v Superman, over 2.5 hours long. Crazy.
Well, I guess a lot's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I really don't know how I'm going to control my bladder for 2.5 hours plus. You know, I have trouble, you know, to be honest, at the end of Deadpool, which is only like, I don't know, an hour and 45 at most, an hour and a half, yeah. something like that. You know, even at the end of that, I stupidly gone for a medium Coke and I was bustling for a piss, but I had to stay for the end credits, you know, the post-credit sequence.
Yeah.
Of which there were two, and they parody an 80s film, which is...
Oh, dear.
Yeah, almost like, you know, take for take. You can find it on YouTube, actually. It's out there.
I'm not going to.
But if you really want to. But, yeah. So, yeah, Deadpool, go and see that.
I'm just worried the studios were suddenly jumping on the R bandwagon because of the success of that film.
I know, and it's not going to work for everything.
It's like Wolverine's going to be R. Batman v Superman, oh, my cut is going to be an R on DVD. It's like, really? I mean... Well, there have been a lot of films before. One specifically jumps to mind is Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
And they go, oh yes, it's going to be harder on DVD. It's been unrated cut, and you watch it, and you're going, well, yes, it's now rated R because you've added lots of fake computer generated blood everywhere.
I mean, Marvel themselves have said they won't go down the R rated route. They're going to keep their movies for the widest possible audience, and I think that makes sense for them. Absolutely. But, I think, surprisingly, Suicide Squad is not going to be R-rated, apparently.
Oh, okay.
So I've heard. And that film, I would suggest, lends itself very much to the higher rating.
Well, the reason that they let Deadpool go R was really because, in the end, the budget only came to, well, let's just say, they've got the budget down to $50
million. Oh, snip.
apparently it was, they got it down to 57 and Fox were like, no, get it down to 50 and we'll let you do what you like, pretty much.
Yeah,
I think there's going to be a bike chase sequence or something in the film. And they went, oh, we can chat that out, have Deadpool say something funny to cover it, it'd be fine.
Yeah, I mean, well, there we go, Deadpool, brilliant. I am looking forward to Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Yes. I still think Wonder Woman looks amazing. I don't care what anyone says. I think she looks great. And I'm a little nervous about Lex Luthor. But
yeah,
we'll see. I
could all be clever marketing.
Could all be. I mean, we'll see.
Speaking of Mr. Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds, I saw The Voices, which stars the very man. Do you've heard of this film?
No. God, this is a week for... this is a month for films that I've never heard of from you. An exploratory month for you.
He develops a crush on a girl who works in the office, played by Gemma Arterton, who's keeping her accent very British, but it's explained that she's dumped her husband or something and moved to America to get away from him.
Oh, I see.
And he wants to date her. And he decides to get help from his pets, a dog and a cat.
Oh, my God. Yeah, vaguely rings a bell. And,
and the dog is like his best friend, but the cat's a bit evil. But I don't want to spoil it anymore. It develops from there. It's kind of advertised as a comedy. And it's not really a comedy, but it is a really good film. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, strange. I mean, I vaguely remember seeing the trailer for this. But never felt compelled to watch it. But okay, well, it's one to give a go. Shall we do our regular monthly feature, John? It's actually my favourite part of the show, I think. It's who we didn't interview this month.
Let's prod John with a stick time.
No, I don't think you'll be too bothered by this one, but it is quite topical.
Okay.
Netflix have recently released something they've been advertising an awful lot. I think they've put a lot of effort into it. It's something that's been coming for some time. It's the return of a series that was popular in probably the 90s. I'm, of course, referencing Fuller House.
And,
Fuller House has come to Netflix. Mixed reviews. I say mixed, you know, bad and terrible reviews. But we had the opportunity, and you know, sit down for this one, John, because it'll blow your socks off with how big a star this is.
Okay.
Michael Sun Lee, who played Harry in Full House and returns as Harry in Fuller House. And I'll just read the little write-up because I don't know fuck all about Michael. Michael plays Harry Takeyama, who you'll recall, John, was Stephanie's boyfriend. They even got fake married in an episode of Full House as tots. Oh, those scamps. All grown up now. The character appeared in the second and third season of the original series and returns all these years later for the new spin-off, Fuller House. The actor, also known for his role as Maui PD Lieutenant Carla in Hawaii Five-O, joins Fuller House from episode 9. I can see your gut. I can tell you're gutted, John. The silence says it all.
So, oh, for God's sake.
Honestly, I thought you'd be more excited for Michael Sun Lee than that. You know, we've had some...
I will tell you, I did read the buzz on the internet. Oh, Netflix is bringing back Fuller House or whatever. And I'm like, I've never heard of it. But I did watch the trailer out of curiosity, and I think I stopped watching the trailer about halfway through. I don't know what this is. None of this makes any sense to me. Bye-bye.
I think Full House is responsible for the Olsen twins, I think. Are you aware of the Olsen twins?
Yes.
They are two incredibly skinny, heroin chic... Well, clearly twins, if there's two of them. And their older sister is... is the Scarlet Witch in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah, of course. Mm. Yeah.
But I think I vaguely remember it from, you know, when I was a teenager, you know, probably 18, 19 actually at that point. I really had no interest in it. It used to be on Saturday mornings. And I do believe they used to split Batman the Animated Series with this show, I think, at times. Because Batman the Animated Series used to be shown on UK TV, but they used to split it and have it in different parts. And
to make you watch the whole Saturday morning show.
Exactly, which is incredibly annoying, but I think Full House was one of those that they showed in between. But yeah, anyway, that's who we didn't interview this month. next month's might be a heartbreaker for John. It depends whether we actually interview the person or not. just a little bit of warning on that one. I'm going to throw in a little bit of TV now, John. Just a very quick roundup of where I'm at with TV.
Go for it.
I've been watching The X-Files. The UK is obviously very far behind the US, where it's finished. It's probably finished here or finishing in a week or two. I've been enjoying it in a sort of nostalgic kind of way. Mm-hmm. One of the episodes is completely what the fuck, and I forgot how wacky The X-Files could be at times. Yeah, some of the episodes are just pure farce, like comedy. And there was an episode which was a bit, what the fuck? But I, on the whole, enjoying that. A series I've been watching for some time, and I keep forgetting to mention, and I know everybody's like, come on, keep up, because it's fantastic. Archer. Have you watched Archer?
No, I know of it.
Oh, my God, John. It is probably one of the best things on TV ever.
Really?
Oh, it's amazing. It's like a secret agent type thing. It's like an agency of secret agents. It's a very small concern. There's only like five or six employees. There's the director of operations, which is Mallory, who is the mother of Archer, who's like their leading agent. The agency is called ISIS, which just kind of tells you, it's very tongue-in-cheek. It's quite old-fashioned. It feels like sort of 70s, 80s technology. The humour is very risque in some ways. You know, like they reference cool girls until they're dead, and then they become hookers. it's quite, you know, on the edge of being like chauvinist and sexist, but some really great recurring jokes that go through that. I've binged it somewhat. I'm on to season six now. Each episode is only about 20 minutes long. It's on Netflix, and I do thoroughly recommend it. Anyone that hasn't watched Archer, it is just fantastic, amazing. Just go on YouTube and type in Archer best one-liners, and it will give you a taster for what the show's all about.
Ah, I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah. Gotham, I'm pretty much up to date. I think I'm one episode behind now. I've managed to catch up. The Flash, I'm still way, way behind, but I will catch up. Kevin Smith is directing an episode of that at the moment, or just all finished. Right. Which may or may not be a good thing. I don't know. We'll see. I think there's enough.
If you get a chance to watch Yoga Hoses, are you going to watch it?
I don't know.
You haven't watched Tusk yet, have you?
I didn't watch Tusk. I should watch Tusk. I will. Maybe that'll be tea in my movie marathon. We'll see. And maybe Yoga Hoses will have to be Y, because there's not many films that start with Y. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. What I've started watching again, you know, the UK is always a bit behind the US for these things, but I've been watching The 100 again. My wife and I watched the first two seasons.
Yeah.
And now we're watching season three. We just binged four episodes in 2 days. It seems to have a much bigger budget now. And what started out as literally just a small cast. In you know, a very small proximity, has now expanded over three seasons to almost a Game of Thrones sized map of you know where things happen. There are lots of different factions, lots of different tribes, and they're all battling for power. It's become a much bigger, you know, more epic feeling series. Unfortunately, it's still troubled by some very sloppy writing. It is almost, you know, it is fairly predictable each week, you know, what's going to happen, but still quite enjoying it. You know, it keeps me coming back. We keep coming back to it. So if you haven't watched it, I wouldn't say go back and watch from the beginning. You know, maybe just jump in at season three and pick it up, because it's decent. It passes the time. So that's my TV roundup. Have you watched any telly?
We're behind at the moment. We're trying to catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has just come back to TV in the States, but we're currently pre-Agent Carter, so we're about...
Wow.
I think actually the UK might have overtaken where we've got to at the moment.
Oh, right.
Because we've got all of Agent Carter Season 2 to watch.
Yeah.
And, of course, I just said S.H.I.E.L.D.'s already come back this week. Although we did make an effort. We watched Gotham's just come back in the US. So we watched the first two episodes of that.
Yeah.
Which has introduced Victor Freeze.
It has. No spoilers, please, because I saw the end of the mid-season, the finale, the mid-season finale.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched the first one or two episodes that have come since then. So I need to watch those. Just to add into the mix, Daredevil is back this week at the time of recording. Next week at the time of recording.
March 18th?
Yeah, which is only, where are we, the 11th today?
13th today.
I lose time. 5 days away at the time of recording. So by the time this comes out, probably it's on. So, I mean, that'll take a lot of my time.
I know at Mummy to Monkeys will be upset because her favourite person was killed last season.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Who was her favourite person?
I can't remember his name. The number two guy for... The guy with glasses, can't remember his name.
Yeah, I know who you mean. Wesley.
Wesley, that's it, yeah.
Okay. So this season we're going to see The Punisher.
Yes.
And Elektra. And Elektra, yeah. And it kind of made me think of our interview with Mike Petchy, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, Mike made this Punisher fan film, which got shut down by Marvel. And he never knew why, never found out why, but we interviewed him. I think it was about an hour and a half interview. And he talks all about it. So I'm thinking I might just re-release that in time for Daredevil.
Yeah, why not?
As a bonus podcast. And I thought I might do a follow-up interview, email interview with him, just to see how he feels about the new Daredevil once it's out. Because I think he'll be supportive of it, but... Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. That's all in the pipelines. What else? I mean, we've got Game of Thrones season six is coming up, and at the time of recording tomorrow, I'm going to the season five gala showing in Leicester Square at the Empire Cinema. And I'm really only just saying this because they gave us some fantastic prizes to give away on the website. We had a phenomenal response to it.
I bet you did.
I feel obliged to just say a little bit about it. So Game of Thrones Season 5 is out on home release from tomorrow, which is March the 14th, as we record now, tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm going to take my wife to this. I think it'll be the first thing she's come to with me. That's TV related. We went to a Twin Peaks thing, but we're going to go along and hopefully we'll meet some of the winners of the competition. We had five pairs of tickets to give away for this gala screening. You get to see it on the Impact screen, which I believe is like IMAX, but not. It is okay. In Dolby Atmos, so immersive sound. And, there'll be free drinks before, a Q&A after with special guests who have yet to be revealed. Which will be presented by Empire Magazine, somebody from Empire Magazine, and then there'll probably be a goodie bag on the way out, which will be fun. So we'll be tweeting and Instagramming that, but it will have happened by the time the show goes out, so you can go back and look at them if you want. So I think we're reaching the home stretch of the show, John. I think we should probably run through some of the other movies that I've watched, because I've watched 10 movies.
How'd you find the time?
I don't know. We've been on a bit of a movie thing, really, and we've actually been paying to rent some movies from our BT Movies thing that we have, Movies on Demand, where they have actually quite recent movies to watch.
Okay.
And one of them, or two of them, quite recent, one of them, we had a bit of a Matt Damon season, if you like, a mini season.
Yeah.
We had a trilogy of Matt Damon films. We started with The Martian.
Okay.
Which, I know you read the book, but did you watch the film?
I did, actually. That was on my list. I watched that recently as well.
Yeah, it's really good. I really enjoyed it. I didn't expect to enjoy it quite as much as I did. And bizarrely, my wife informs me that the film was put into the comedy category for a recent awards ceremony, which it won.
That's very true, yes.
And bizarre, because I didn't peg it as a comedy myself. It is funny in places, but it's more of a drama for me. I don't know, more of a thriller maybe.
It was a sly move on behalf of the studio. They must have already. I think they already knew what the other contenders were in the comedy stakes, and thought, oh, we easily beat them. Those things, they're not even funny, those films, are they? So they put The Martian into the comedy, and it won because it was better than the other films in the comedy. Wow. Nominations.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it's funny.
It's completely mental.
So, yeah, we watched The Martian, which is fantastic, and I recommend that everybody watches that. We also watched The Monuments Men.
Oh, yes.
Which is, it's kind of a like post or end of World War II Ocean's 11, in a way, where a group of art experts are brought together to go over to Germany and to the invaded parts of Europe, so France, Belgium, places like that, where they have to try and recover and reclaim as much valuable artwork as they can from the Nazis, because the Nazis went into every country and basically pillaged the best art, the best statues. The best art from each of the countries. They took very famous paintings, valuables, and so these guys had to track it down with very little assistance, really, from the Allied troops and from the forces. Often they were more concerned with the well-being of people than the well-being of the art, and so they came up against a lot of obstacles. But it is quite a funny film. It is, it's directed by George Clooney, who also stars John Goodman in there, and Bill Murray. So, it's not...
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to... It's not a serious film. But it is a good film. I enjoyed this one. And again, I recommend that one. Third in our Matt Damon trilogy was Invictus, which I know has been out for quite a time. But I'd never seen it. And it's a film about South Africa at the end of apartheid, when Nelson Mandela came into power as president of the country, and he sought to unite the nation through the Rugby World Cup. Matt Damon plays the captain of the South African rugby team, who are not performing well. So black rugby fans always support the opposition over South Africa because the Springboks, the team, really are synonymous with apartheid and represent in terms of how they look, how they're all mostly white players, the colours that they wear, it's very much associated with apartheid. So the black supporters always support the other team. So if they're playing England, they're supporting England rather than South Africa. And the whites, obviously, vice versa. But South Africa don't do well. And Nelson Mandela takes a vested interest in the team in the run-up to the World Cup, which South Africa were hosting, and uses that to unite the nation. And it's a really good uplifting film. Again, there are elements of comedy, but it's not a comedy. It's quite serious, but it is uplifting. It's not bogged down in the politics and the hardships, and you know, there are elements where you realise what a hard time Mandela had when he was in prison. You know, you see the prison he was kept in. Yeah, you see the change and the shift in a nation's feelings and the way that they're united. So, I would recommend that. So, three Matt Damon films, all of them good. What's not so good?
Oh, yes.
I got two films that are not so good.
Okay.
Monsters, Dark Continent.
Oh, the sequel we didn't really need.
The sequel nobody needed. It's a meandering, pointless mess of a film. It's a poor sequel. It lacks direction. It is just a series of events that have no real meaning. And I've struggled to get through it. It's a film that it's been on my list for a while. I thought I'd give it a look because I did enjoy Monsters. It was I forget who the director is.
He did Godzilla.
I can't think of
it. Oh, Gareth Edwards?
I think it is, yes. Yeah, that was really his breakthrough film, Monsters. Mm. And he did a lot of the CGI on his laptop. It was very low budget. It was an indie film. And it really focused on a very human element. The monsters themselves, alien beings, whatever they are, were quite sort of background in terms of the story. Mm. And it focused on the humans just surviving in a world where aliens now dominate a vast majority of the Earth. You know, it's almost Attack on Titan-ish in a way that, you know, they're building huge walls to keep these things out so people can live and move around. But Monsters, Dark Continent really, again, it tries to focus on the human element. It keeps that, you know, focus on people rather than on the monsters themselves. But it's so misguided. It follows sort of I don't know what they're called, like a group or a command of soldiers, and it's confused. It's like they're out there to fight the monsters and try and beat back the monsters, but at the same time they're also fighting insurgents, and it just gets really confused as to what these guys are actually supposed to be doing. And the changes of their thinking, you know, the inevitable, you know, breakdown of one of the soldiers, the craziness, it tries really hard to keep, you know, faithful to the concept behind Monsters, but fails miserably to do so. And it just ends up a real mess where you're thinking, you know, I've just watched an hour and a half, 2 hours of just mess, of no real, there's no real substance to it. There's no real cohesive plot. So I would stay away from that one if I was you.
And I will.
And it's too late for me to tell you to stay away from this one because I know you've already watched it. But Spectre, okay. I watched Spectre as well. And I'm going to blame my wife again for this one because this was her pick. She wanted to go and see it at the cinema. She really wanted to go and see it, and I just couldn't be bothered. Because I'm not a Bond fan, and, you know, I have to say I'm not a Bond fan. I've never really have been. And just to prove how little of a Bond fan I am, my favourite Bond was the one everybody hates. I can't remember his name.
George Lazenby?
No, not that far back.
After Pierce Brosnan.
After Connery.
No. Roger Moore?
Roger Moore, yeah. Yeah, the one that you thought it couldn't possibly be. Roger Moore's my favourite Bond. And so that shows how little I like Bond. And I just, again, I thought it was just a bit of a mess. I didn't really care about it at all. I thought Daniel Craig put in a less than convincing performance. It seemed like he didn't really give a shit anymore. And I think that's kind of the feeling you get from his post-film interviews as well. The technology, which is always has always been a draw to the Bond films for a lot of people, is half-hearted at best. I don't know. It's just not a very strong film for me. I know you reviewed it as meh. I'm going to go a little bit worse than that. I just think, a waste of time, really.
Fair enough.
Okay, my last film. A surprise one for me, really. It's not a film I wanted to see necessarily, but we've watched it anyway because, we've been on a bit of a movie run. And I thought I would hate it because it doesn't really reference the source material accurately in any way, shape or form.
Okay.
Frank.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Again, not a recent film. It's been out for a while. Stars Michael Fassbender. Although most of the time you wouldn't realise that, as he plays the titular character, who is a guy who wears a big head,
paper mache head,
with massive eyes and mouth and side part in hair. Now Frank actually is a character that was a UK character, an English character. Frank Sidebottom was the guy.
That's it. Yeah.
Who wore this head as part of his stage show. He was an eccentric guy. He used to play comedy music on stage, I think, and he had a bit of a funny nasally voice, and he always wore this head on stage. The film is nothing to do with Frank Sidebottom at all. I mean,
okay, now I'm confused.
doesn't reference him at all. They literally took the head and the music as a starting point and went in a completely different direction. It's a movie that it takes place mostly in America, but starts off in the UK, where a guy who plays keyboard, he wants to be a musician but he's a bit shit at it. You see him sort of travelling home from, I don't know, school or whatever, from college, on the bus, and he's thinking of music and he's got ideas, and he gets home, he tries to write them, and they're shit. They're just bad songs. And he goes and sees this band, and they're having some sort of problem. They're very dysfunctional. The keyboard player can't play, gets arrested, or I don't know, killed or something. I can't remember exactly. But he fills in on keyboards for like two songs before the whole set implodes, and there's electrical problems, and they all fall out, and events happen, and he ends up thinking he's going to play a gig with them somewhere, and what actually ends up is he's forced to stay in this remote sort of dwelling for months on end while they record an album. And it's very weird, artsy music, like they will record like blades of grass blown in the wind and incorporate it into the music, that kind of wacky kind of thing, very natural, very organic style of music. And Frank is this genius. He's the lead singer. He's the figurehead of the band. He's a perfectionist, and they they record all this stuff, and slowly, because they're all forced together, they go a bit mad. They all go a bit mad. And the film sees them sort of go into South by Southwest, which is on at the moment, and to play a show where they think, because this guy's been documenting the whole thing online, which again is so far removed from the Frank Sidebottom story. He documents it all online. They've got thousands and thousands of followers. They think they're going to South by Southwest and they're going to play on this massive stage, and like loads of people will know who they are. And the pressure gets too much for Frank, and he implodes. He basically just goes way off the rails, and everything sort of falls apart. Despite the fact that I was prejudiced going into it, because I knew from reading reviews of it that it was nothing to do with the Frank Sidebottom story, and I think that's a story that should have been told, because the guy died. When he died penniless. And to the point where they had to crowdfund for funds to bury him for his own funeral.
Oh yeah,
it's a tragic story, and I really think could have been an equally good film. But Frank is a great story if you can put that prejudice to one side, and it sucked me in. I enjoyed it. It's kind of an indie feel to it, although I'm sure it comes from a big studio. And it's a very enjoyable film. So Frank, I enjoyed very much.
there we go.
So there we are. We've not done much in the way of news this time around. We've probably gone over a little bit on our usual time, but deal with it.
Yeah, I like the change. That's really good.
Yeah, Yeah, there we go. So I think, you know, my wife and I will continue to watch lots of TV and movies over the next month, and hopefully we can do a slightly more condensed version and get back to the format that we know and love. And hopefully John won't break down and cry when we do the Who We Didn't Interview. So that's the show.
Oh, you tease.
I know. Well, you know what it is, and I know what it is, but...
Yeah. It depends what format the interview's in, I suppose. That'd be the next blow.
I'll tell you what was great. It was for me to actually prove to you that these aren't made up. I actually do get these emails of offers for interviews that we never do. And, to be able to forward you one that you'd be very interested in was a lot of fun. So that's the show. Thanks for listening. This has been Betamax and Laserdisc, the movie and TV podcast from theunheardnerd.com. Please do get in touch with us. You can hit us up on Twitter, which is where I'm found most of the time. In fact, 97% of the time I'm on Twitter, and the remaining 3% I'm sleeping and eating. So you can find me on Twitter, it's at theunheardnerd. You can find John on Twitter only 90% of the time. It's at UK Film Nerd. Find us on Facebook / theunheardnerd. And email us at theunheardnerd@gmail.com. And of course, visit theunheardnerd.com because it's fab. And we update daily at 8 a.m. British time, innit? So, innit?
Oh dear, that's lost a few listeners.
Oh, come on, it's there waiting for our US friends. We're getting in nice and early for them. It's like, it's all there, nicely laid out. It's like
that's true.
It's like a fresh bed. Just get in, fall asleep. Or nothing like that. So, thanks, as always, John, for joining
me. Thanks, Will. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
And until next time, that's the show. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I quite enjoyed that.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
How am I ever going to control my bladder for 2.5 hours in a theatre? Oh, hang on.
Wants to know.
My cat, fuck's sake, every week, every time. What do you want? What? Are you stuck? You want to get out? Excuse me, 1 minute. Come on. Thinks he's the third host of this show. Idiot.